Good afternoon. Welcome to the Man in Line on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68 for whatever ails you, whatever's on your mind, whatever you want to put in front of the Manx Nation today. Do so. 66 13 68. You can email the studio, studio@manxradio.com, or text 166 177 SMS. So we've had 49,283 tests taking place on the Isle of Man since last year. 147 people booked in for tests today. There are no new cases as of 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We have just 30 active cases on the Isle of Man. Nobody in hospital. 726 people are currently in self-isolation. The vaccination dashboard shows 47,591 first doses have been administered, 15,462 second dose administered, a combined total of 63,053 vaccinations, and we're currently holding 5,904 shots of vaccine in stock. There are 2,199 people booked in for vaccination shots in the next 7 days. You did hear the Health and Social Care Minister mention yesterday at the briefing, though, that things are going to slow down somewhat because of that supply restrictions in the UK. But the announcement, of course, now, if you're 30 and over, then call and register for a vaccination. So anybody 30 years and over, call to register. It is 6 weeks today, and who'd have thought it? It was, let me see, we had a three-week lockdown, didn't we, from the 7th of January. There were seven new cases on the 5th of January. We had that three-week lockdown, and then everything was opened. Lockdown 2 was over on the 1st of February. Then it all started to go wrong. Seven new cases on the 18th of February, 40 new cases on the 25th of February, and a three-week lockdown started from the 3rd of March. And here we are, 6 weeks on. Well, they say Thursday is going to be the big news, hopefully the good news. I just wonder whether you're feeling at all edgy about coming to the end of a lockdown. And what do you do now? If you're watching the UK news, scenes of mayhem in some places. People were going crazy yesterday trying to get to Primark or sitting outside in the freezing cold having a drink. I just wonder what's going to happen and whether you think we should head into this post-lockdown with any restrictions still in place. Social distancing? Well, we'll see. Face coverings? Who knows? I've been to Douglas for my first vaccination. Parking available behind Chester Street car park. Loads of disparking in Chester Street, and then disparking available just off Victoria Street, where I went shopping afterwards. I know it suits some drama queens to be negative, says Steve, but there is the saying that there's nowhere to park in Douglas, but actually it's not based in reality. There is loads of parking in Douglas. I hope your vaccination well, Steve. And Sue said online shopping is here to stay. We were talking about online shopping yesterday and whether or not it's going to supplant shopping in general. And certainly Jed was on yesterday saying that consumer behaviour is not going to change. We're all used to this. Lots of people have done much more, many multiples of time, more online shopping than previously. Sue said, I buy online, but I also buy in local shops. Choice is diminishing as people are buying online. Obviously, shops on the island find it difficult to carry as much stock as you can buy online. I've often had this discussion with my husband about buying online and the cost of postage and carriage. Well, already postage can be seen rising from some online and UK outlets. So what happens when most of the local shops close due to lack of custom? The online sites cotton on to the fact that people on the Isle of Man have no alternative and just rack up the price and charge whatever they want to get to the island. We're absolutely stuffed, says her words, by the way. We'll have to pay or go without because you couldn't find it in a local shop. The axiom, use it or lose it, has been used many, many times. And obviously, it's just something, because times are so different now, we're just going to have to get used to making that call. Do you pay more to buy on the Isle of Man? The often used percentage is 17%. Things will often be 17% more on the Isle of Man, purely because of the transit and the carriage and the freight and the haulage. and just the handling of stuff on the Isle of Man. I've just, it's Gary and Ramsey, I've just driven into Ramsey along the Jerby Road, and DOT are patching the roads, filling potholes. What a mess! I'd say it's dangerous, especially for motorbikes, as they spray small grit onto the infill, losing most of it over the road. Looks like ball bearings, says Gary. Well, I do hope it works out. If you're driving into Ramsey on the Jerby Road, you know what? If people refuse vaccination and become ill with the virus, do you think they should pay for their treatment? A note in from Dewan. They should pay for their treatment. If people refuse the vaccination, we haven't had any anti-vaxxers really on the Man in Line to speak of. Perhaps just a couple. I just wonder what your thoughts are about people who just refuse to have the vaccine and what would happen if they became ill. It was yesterday we had the briefing. By this time next week, a significant number of coronavirus measures could have been lifted on the Isle of Man. We keep our fingers crossed. Comes a day with no new cases of virus on the Isle of Man. The Chief Minister gave an update at the media briefing yesterday. Alex Watton looks at what happened at the meeting.
It began with a positive message from Howard Quayle that we're right on track to see a large number of restrictions lifted in less than a week's time.
If the data remains as strong as it appears today, I am hopeful that from the 19th of April, we will be able to lift a significant amount of the restrictions that are in place. It may not be everything in one go. It may be that we will need to keep some measures in place for just a little longer.
Public Health Director Dr. Henrietta Hewitt reiterated the positive message that the island is moving in the right direction.
And now that we're 14 days, that's one full incubation period for COVID, clear of the last unexplained community case, we can be increasingly confident that we don't have ongoing transmission in the community. And when we couple that with the progress of the vaccination programme, the increasing good news coming out from the monitoring of the vaccine effectiveness that is being done by Public Health England across, and which shows the considerable impact that the vaccination programme has already had on reducing numbers of deaths across. And then, of course, the fall in rates across is also good news for them and for us.
Sticking with the vaccine rollout then, Health Minister David Ashford explained that previously predicted disruptions to the island's supply this month is expected to take its biggest hit this week and next.
People will see the numbers of vaccines delivered dropping to around 400 a day for the next week. This is down to the supply disruption we have already spoken about, after which people will see stocks and delivery of jabs into arms increase once again.
Mr. Ashford was also asked how many people have cancelled their AstraZeneca vaccine appointments after a number of side effect concerns regarding blood clots, which we've been assured are extremely rare.
It is personal choice vaccination. We have to remember that. And, it's not a compulsive thing. And for whatever reasons, there will be people who won't take up the offer.
And a note on borders. Mr. Quayle repeated his aim to make changes to the island's border policy by the end of this month.
We hope to move to 3A to allow family and partners and people who've got a legal attachment to the island, whether that be owning of property. Then we move to allowing people to come to the island subject to restrictions based on the area that they come from.
And you can watch the conference back via Manx Radio's social media channels or read the minute-by-minute blog at manxradio.com.
16 minutes past 12. Oh, a note in from David has said, do you know Manx Utilities are giving electricity away? You can charge your car for free in Port St Mary. No wonder my bills are going up. Is that true? Can you charge your car for free in Port St Mary? Lovely place. People who've cancelled COVID vaccinations, says this correspondent, because of blood clot fears, would do well to remember that every woman who's on the contraceptive pill puts herself willingly at many, many times the degree of risk of blood clot every month. It's not to scare women off the pill, it's just to put the thing in context. And a note in just said COVID vaccine passports will be essential when foreign travel starts again. Travel insurance companies will insist on the vaccine to minimise their risks. That's Stephen, dropped a note in as well. Regarding the vaccine passport, says Matt, I fully agree with it. With people travelling anywhere across the island or to the UK, should prove it. And venues for concerts and things like that. I'm desperate for the COVID situation to be over. It's been almost 2 years since I saw my husband face to face, as he lives in the United States. We want to be safe and not risk our health and anyone else's, but it's a struggle. Morning rant over. Thank you for that. A vaccine passport. Whether or not that would, well, certainly, as Matt said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen for foreign travel, and certainly on certain cruises. Was it Saga? The holiday company said if you go on a Saga cruise, you have to have proof of having a vaccine. The vaccine passport will become something that we'll all be used to, whether or not it's there's a common one or an official one, or whether it's just going to be organised by private companies. Talking of buying stuff from across and online purchases, did you know that you've got to be very careful about how much you get charged? People are being warned to follow the rules. If you import from outside the UK, there's been a sharp rise in the number of parcels that have been detained. Can you detain a parcel? Well, I suppose you can. From the 1st of January this year, when the UK completed its transition and left the EU, goods brought or sent to the Isle of Man from outside the UK are subject to a new import prohibition, more restrictions and licensing. So far, in less than 4 months, 50 packages have been seized by customs and excise on the island, compared to just 12 in the previous year. 50 in less than 4 months. Now, while some of the items have previously been permitted from Europe, you're being reminded to check import restrictions before you make purchases. What are we talking about? Sausages. Dried vacuum-packed meat. Basically, products of animal origin. So sausages and dried vacuum-packed meats from outside the Isle of Man UK bit. Plant materials like garden flowers, seed potatoes, cannabis seeds, or vet medicines, which should be purchased on the island or from UK suppliers. The Isle of Man maintains import controls on plants, including seeds and cuttings, with relevant plant passport or phytosanitary certificates as well. And animals, including fish, shellfish, animal-derived products and foodstuffs, as well as explosives, firearms, medicines and tobaccos. So you need to verify and check the guidance or origin of anything you're buying before you buy it on the internet. Otherwise, it could be taken by customs and excise. If you want more information, by the way, go to, I think, gov.im is probably your best website to go to. If you sent items that are detained by the government, by the way, the government could seek to recover the costs of their disposal. You won't get them. Information as what's being classed as a controlled item or what goods aren't permitted for import, go to the Customs and Excise website. So if you go to gov.im, head for Customs and Excise and you'll find out. But really, sausages and dried vacuum-packed meats. I didn't realise they were in such demand as well. So if you smoke and get cancer, you don't get treatment, it was your own fault, says this correspondent. I don't think we're drawing that parallel. Is that a direct parallel? If you are offered a vaccine, and everybody is being offered a vaccine, and you decide not to have the vaccine, would you be miffed if, say, you couldn't go to Spain or Italy or anywhere else for that matter? If the travel company that you went with insisted that you had to have a vaccine, would that bother you so much? And if they insist on it, what's the difference between them insisting on it and anyone else insisting on it? Presumably, if you've been offered a COVID vaccine, you go on holiday to Spain or anywhere else, United States, Florida, Australia, and you get COVID, and they say, well, you were offered a vaccine, but you chose not to take it. I just wonder where your medical insurance would be. A note is that it's very narrow-minded to cancel the vaccine because of clots. Life's full of risk. It's a very minor risk. But having the vaccine is for the greater good, says Alan as well. The cost of living on the Isle of Man is ridiculous. Normal people on low income won't survive if the prices keep rising, as nobody else noticed how bad the price rises are getting, says Will. Just if you could be a bit more specific, Will, that would be lovely. I understand your wide generalisation of saying the cost of living is going up. Well, it's probably a fact the cost of living never goes down. It's always going to go up. It just depends by how much. So what bit of the cost of living are you really bothered about, says Will. Regarding the COVID passport, says Jan, she says, Andy, so would all children and babies have to be vaccinated? Interesting point. At what point do we stop vaccinating? So would babies and children? That's certainly one for the Health and Social Care Minister. I've paid my national insurance my whole working life, says Tony, in the knowledge that the medical profession will be there if I need it. I'm not going to be having the vaccine. I know it has no serious long-term effects. Oh, until I know it has no long-term serious effects. If I get COVID-19... don't treat me, but refund me or don't charge me national insurance. No coercion, my body, my choice. I'm not buying the vaccine nonsense. Tony's an anti-vaxxer. There are non-evasive treatments that they could have, but they won't use. Be a bit more specific, Tony. What are the non-invasive treatments that they could have used as well? Any news of the price of gas going down? Also, what's happening to the change of property valuation, says Alan B. in Oncombe. Gas, well, the new gas restrictions or the new gas regulations are supposed to be coming in. So we've not heard of anything significant where that's concerned. By this time next week, as I mentioned, lots of things may have changed. Thursday is the big date. Everybody's going to be tuning in. Of course, we'll be carrying it live on Manx Radio just to see what is going to happen. We had that period earlier on this year when we had the lockdown. We came back into the open air, blinking into the sunshine. We were the focus of media attention everywhere around the world, and then it all went wrong. And we had 6 weeks now, 6 weeks into this. For some Manx pupils, today is the first day back in school for 6 weeks. Primary schools are welcoming back those classed as vulnerable, as well as the children of key workers, while those who would have sat exams this year are heading back to high school. Now, it's hoped the rest of the Isle of Man students will return to the classroom next Monday. Here's the Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Dr. Alex Allinson.
We're bringing back those primary school children who really need to be at school for obvious reasons, and also those secondary school children who need to start the assessments and assignments so they can get the grades that they deserve. Now that, unfortunately, exams have been cancelled later on in the year, we really need to sort of get up to speed with their education so we can make sure they can move on to the next stage in their education.
Now, given what we saw at the start of March, there was rapid spread of coronavirus among young people on the island. Can you be absolutely sure, given that we are still in lockdown, that it is safe for these children to be back in school?
Yes, I can be absolutely certain that schools are safe, but there is still a risk there. And I think one of the things that we as a community are having to learn to deal with is that risk. As you say, we saw in March the spread of the Kent variant. Now, we've seen that in the United Kingdom, but that came into the island at a time when we had no mitigations here at all. So, as you say, it did sweep right through both our schools, our community, but also childcare as well, and disproportionately affected young people. What we're doing this week is building up that resilience, looking again at how we can prevent further infections hitting our island, looking at things like ventilation, looking at face coverings, looking at hygiene, so that as we move into the next stage of our exit framework, we can actually have that confidence that our schools will remain functioning, and we can actually provide that education, which is so important to our students, as well as that well-being and that sense of belonging.
Well, you mentioned staff there. How many teachers are going to be in school, and how many teachers are still going to be focusing on remote learning and working from home as well?
What we've done yesterday is all teachers went back to work after the Easter holidays. Now, obviously, We were also providing remote learning during this week. When we actually reopen all schools, that will obviously stop because teachers will be seeing people face-to-face. Individual head teachers have been allocating different roles for their staff. And again, all the staff in schools are having to follow these mitigation measures. They're wearing masks, they're socially distancing in the staff room. So it is, again, trying to make sure that we establish that safety in schools, but also we deal with the risk. Because as we move forward as a community, we need to start dealing with that risk on an individual basis, making that risk assessment and doing the right things both for us, our family, but also our community.
And just finally, Minister, we are hoping that there could be some more pupils allowed back on Monday next week, possibly a full reopening of the schools. When can parents expect to hear that announcement?
We should be able to announce that on Thursday. Obviously, we're keeping a very close eye on the daily tallies of the number of cases that are being detected in our community. And because of the actions of our community, those are low or non-existent at the moment. But we need to move forward quite carefully. And I think the Chief Minister said it will be a gradual process. Hopefully by Thursday, we should be able to announce both to the media, but also importantly to parents, what we're planning for next week in terms of schools, get the education service back online and get kids back into learning.
Dr. Allinson says the schools are safe, but there is a risk there. Mo is on the man in line now. Hello, Mo.
Hi. Just thought that the wonderful tributes that have been paid all over the world now to the Duke of Edinburgh and Prince but one little picture that stood out in today's Examiner for me brought memories back to me is the picture is being introduced to members of the Isle of Man Special Olympics team. I was there, and she was one of my equestrian riders, and she was always saying the wrong thing to everybody. And they were very upset actually when they got back, because we were then told we got to line up and to meet the Queen. And well, why? And so I said, oh, for God's sake, just do it, you know. Anyway, when we got to our lineup, we were on one side and the rest of it. Anyway, the Queen went on the other side and we got Prince Philip. So Nikki was saying, well, who's that? Who is it anyway? Don't say anything to him. It's the Queen's husband. Just be respectful, you know. And anyway, this picture is Prince Philip looking at Nikki, and Nikki's obviously said something to him, and he's looking at her and absolutely dead. So she must have said something to him. I can't remember what it was, but obviously I was just in front of her.
And when was that, Mo?
Well, it was when they were here. I think it might have been Tynwald Day. I can't remember. We just come back from the Special Olympics team, but just come back from America, I think. We were told that's why we had to go and meet them. So I think he also met Norman Wisdom at the time, but I don't think he was as amused with Norman Wisdom as he was with Nikki.
Oh, well, some great memories anyway.
So great memories, yes. And also, Prince Philip managed to get me a detention at school, because it was actually before she became Queen. So they were here on the Isle of Man, and I don't remember how long ago, but I was still at school. And we were asked to do a gym display at the villa, so many people were picked out of school. We were told that we got to be dressed in our, wherever we were, get dressed in your gym things, get down into the yard, and we're going into a coach to the villa, which we did obviously. And I thought I couldn't take my eyes off him. I fell madly in love with Prince Philip that day, and I thought he was the most handsome man I'd ever seen, well, most handsome person I'd ever seen in my life. So I, instead of going back with the coach up to Park Road, I ran up to St. Ninian so I could see him again. And, of course, I managed to get myself in deep trouble for doing that.
Mo, how did the death of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, how did it affect you at the weekend?
Oh, desperately upset. I just wished I hoped he would have made it to 100. I was really hoping he'd make it to 100. But the picture of him that I don't think should have been photographed, really, of him coming out of hospital. He looked very, very ill, and I thought it was a horrible last picture to see of him, really. But yes, I've had happy memories of seeing him, meeting him on a few occasions, actually. I'm just looking at this picture and I can see that she has said something to it. I was deeply upset, but God, what a man.
Okay, thanks, Mo.
Okay. Bye then.
Bye. 28 minutes before one. Regarding vaccine passports, Jamie said, yes, get vaccine passports going on the Isle of Man. Don't wait for the UK to tell us. The steam packet issue caused us to be stuck here for 6 weeks. So get control this time. Vaccine passports for sure. And Julia said, make vaccine passports compulsory for entry to the Isle of Man and for certain venues like pubs and cinemas and concerts, says Julia. Well, the people who own the venues and the pubs will be cringing now because their immediate rejoinder will be, who's going to pay for the person at the door to check the COVID passport? I'm concerned about the overemphasis placed on young people's education. I know how that sounds, but people are able to learn through their entire life, take GCSEs and A-levels later when they're more mature and their hormones have settled down. This is not the only chance they'll get to have an education. I took my A-levels at a later age, and I can say it was the best idea for me because I was actually able to concentrate and make more focus on what I actually needed. And when I was younger, I had to take an entire term off for health reasons, and the school did very little to send work home and keep my education up to date. Despite that, I'm currently on a master's qualification, looking forward to a doctorate. Schools back partially today and Thursday. If Thursday goes as it sounds like it's going to go, the schools will be back next Monday. Just wonder what your thoughts are. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. You can call 66 13 68. 100 and more, in fact 400 people have cancelled their AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine appointments, the health minister confirmed. 400 and more people. It follows concerns over blood clot side effect risks from the jab. We've been told they're extremely rare, but while the appointments have been cancelled, more have been rebooked. Any thoughts?
Do you run a small business? Are you unsure who to turn to for help? From lockdown support to business planning, the accountants at Nicola Bowker & Co. are here for you. Find us at nicolabowker.co.uk and get in touch.
Everyone knows that at Isle of Man Creamery, our milk is green. Natural and wholesome from grass-fed Manx cows on local family farms. But you might not know that our cartons are now green too. We're introducing the first plant-based packaging in the British Isles, containing no oil-based plastics at all. Fresh Manx milk, now in the most environmentally friendly packaging available. Call 632000 or visit isleofmancreamery.com for doorstep deliveries.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists and we're here to help. Call 692-400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
All courtesy of the Isle of Man Railway's time train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember tipped weights, opal fruits or jamboree bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the time train with Isle of Man Railways and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 24 minutes before one. Teachers have done a fantastic job over the past 12 months, says Steve. Negotiating the ever-changing demands of exam boards is not to be underestimated. The goalposts always seem to be changing and teachers deserve thanks for all they continue to do, not only for ensuring academic progress, but also for the care and diligence they show for the well-being of pupils. Hats off to the teachers. Sir Steve, Eddie's on the Man in Line today. Hello, Eddie.
Yes, good afternoon, Andy. Everybody seems to be congratulating themselves and wondering when they can all get back to normal and everything, but it's happened before. Is it going to happen again? Are we going to get somebody infected and we're going to be closed down again? It could well be, couldn't it? Now, my query is, I don't know this, but maybe someone of your listeners will be able to tell me. When somebody tests positive for COVID-19 on the island, what does the medical authorities tell them to do, apart from isolate? Does it give them any medication or anything while they're in isolation?
I think the first thing to do, as you say, is to self-isolate. And they always say, monitor your symptoms, don't they?
Yes, but the fact is, it's basically doing nothing and just seeing if they're going to get sicker, which does not seem very logical to me.
What would you suggest?
Well, I've been on before, and you probably realise what I'm going to say. Ivermectin. Now, the studies have shown that ivermectin prevents transmission and development of COVID-19 disease in those exposed to infected patients. So basically, what they've been doing is, if anyone tests positive for COVID, yes, they're isolating them, and the family and everything is isolating. But what they do is they give the person who's infected the dose of ivermectin, and they give all of the people around them with a half dose in the isolation. And basically they found that none of the people who are in that group catch COVID. But also the person who has taken the ivermectin is usually clear within 5 days.
Why do you think there hasn't been a rush for ivermectin then?
Well, I don't like to get into conspiracy theories, Andy, because if you can prove a conspiracy theory, it means that somebody's made a mistake somewhere, doesn't it? But put it this way, when you have an injection on the Isle of Man, I'm not exactly sure of the figures, but I believe it costs £3 an injection. So you've got to have two, so that's £6, right? Now, the ivermectin, if you want to have it, costs about 50 pence. Now, all around the world, most of the governments are taking their information from authorities which are funded and receive massive amounts of money from the pharmaceutical organisations.
What's the position of the World Health Organization then? What do they say about ivermectin?
Well, the World Health Organization is sitting on the fence at the moment. And, of course, the World Health Organization is majorly funded by the pharmaceutical corporations. Majorly. Absolutely. And this is one reason why Donald Trump pulled out of the World Health Organization recommendations. But, as I say, I'm not trying to get into that side of it, but you've got to basically chase the money on that one. But you've only got to look at some of the results which they're having. There was a study in Argentina. They had 1,200 health workers, and they gave, I think it was about 750 of them, ivermectin once a week for 10 weeks. None of those group, none, absolutely none, caught COVID. The control group, which was the ones that didn't get the ivermectin, 58% of them caught it. Now, the figures are all there, but for some reason, and I can only think that there's got to be some other thing involved in this, but the fact is that the people who are pushing the ivermectin are not against vaccines. okay? They're not against it, the way that's going. They're not against masks. They're not against social distancing or isolating. What they're saying is ivermectin is an addition to what's being done.
Okay. All right, Eddie, we appreciate your call. Thanks for that today.
Oh, by the way, can I just say first about vaccine passports?
Yes.
Perhaps all those people who have been phoning up saying we have to have vaccine passports and all the rest of it would like those who haven't taken the vaccine to go around with a yellow star on their coat. It's a very dangerous situation that they're getting into here.
But okay. A lot of commercial organisations are saying you must have a vaccine passport. All the big travel companies are saying, so if you want to go on a Saga cruise, you have to have a vaccine passport. No ifs, no buts, no maybes, no passport, no cruise.
Discrimination. And legally, you have to find out whether there's going to be any legal problems with any of this.
OK. All right, Eddie. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate your call. And Jill's on the man in line. Hello, Jill.
Oh, hiya, Andy. I rang 2 weeks ago. I had the AstraZeneca jab, and I was really, really poorly the night after, and I felt like I needed an ambulance. Now, we're not very good on computers, me and my husband. We're learning now. We're a bit steam-driven, but we're trying. And I rang 111 up to tell them about my symptoms, and they said, I have to go online and there's a yellow card. Well, we're not very good at that. So and I said, could you do it for me? And they said, no, ring your GP. Well, I rang my GP and the receptionist said, why didn't they fill it in for you? Well, I'm back to square one now because I don't really want to trouble anyone, but I'm really worried about my second jab in June. Because I want to know the survey that's been done here. Have any people, we were the first in line to get the jab, has anyone over the age of 70 had maybe a blood clot? You know, this yellow card business, how many 70-year-olds know about this yellow card? They'll get no research done from the older generation.
How are you feeling about having your second jab?
Terribly, terribly scared, and I wake up every morning with the worry about it. My son lives in Munich, and he's never liked the idea of the jab, but I don't want to be a scaremonger or either, so I'm keeping a silence, but I'm just speaking for myself. I'd like to know from David Ashcroft, has anybody on the island died maybe of a blood clot? I had severe headache. Back, neck and headache with it. I was shivering. It was the worst night of my life. So I'm really, and some people say, oh yeah, if you've had the first jab, you'll be all right with the second one. But you know, I play the lottery. I may not win it, but I might get a blood clot from this one in a million. It's not so much the million, Andy. I'd like to know here on this island where I feel safe, has any of our elder generation suffered from a blood clot?
Okay.
And if they have suffered from a blood clot, was it after the AstraZeneca jab?
All right, Jill. Well, we'll try and get to the bottom of that and find out more about that yellow card as well.
This yellow card business. Yes, thank you, Andy. Thank you very much. Bye now.
All right, good to talk to you. Here's Nigel on the man in line. Hello, Nigel.
Hello, how are you? It's Nigel from Albany House. I'm not going to drag it out today, but there's one question that we're scratching our heads at home about, and I'm sure the Cabinet Office are pushing the pen round and scratching their heads, is great, Thursday will come and hopefully we'll get the results that we need, that we're going to be all up and running and back to some sort of normality. But the concern that obviously I would imagine accommodation providers will have is that family and friends, you know, let's get them over here to visit their families over here. But let's say that their accommodation or the families they're coming to visit haven't got a big enough accommodation. So obviously, hopefully they'll come and stay with us or other accommodation providers. And then unfortunately, somebody within that period of week or so goes down with COVID. What do we do with them?
Well, let's hope, shall we? We're hoping against hope. Nigel, how do you feel about this, about the possibility of coming out of lockdown?
Well, I mean, great, let's come out of lockdown, but it's, you know, if we're going to open the borders up, we're opening ourselves up, and we need to do this. We need to do it for our business, to get our business up and running again, and we can't continue to keep the borders closed. But my concern is, what contingency plan have they got? Because it's going to happen. And then you've got track and trace, because if they've been with us for 3 or 4 days and they fall poorly after day four and they've been in the restaurants, we can't go on opening and closing, opening and closing, and opening and closing. What is the contingency plan if somebody falls ill and we've got people on stay location, let's say, that's staying in another room with us, and we get somebody from across coming that's visiting family and they're staying with us as well, and they fall poorly, they get COVID. In the UK, I'm under the impression that hoteliers will say go back home. But of course, we can't tell them to do that because they've got to get on a boat or a plane. Now, are they going to be allowed to do that? Do they have to isolate with us? Do the guests have to isolate with us or the people that are on stay location? It's a minefield, and that's what's worrying us.
I was feeling optimistic until you came on, Nigel.
Well, I want to be optimistic, but, you know, it's going to happen, isn't it? And unfortunately, the more people come in, the more of the opportunity that's going to happen. But what is their contingency plan? Are they going to have somebody somewhere on the island, right, you know, you're going to have to go there for a week because, you know, we don't want to close down again, and surely other accommodation providers are the same.
All right. Thanks for being with us, Nigel.
Yeah, okay, no worries.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed for deflating me.
Fancying something a bit different to eat? Try the Lemongrass Thai Restaurant at the Ginger Hall in Sulby, bursting with traditional Thai dishes cooked to perfection by our very own Chef Veeman. Throughout lockdown, we'll be operating our collection and delivery service. To order for collection or delivery, call us on 89 85 84 and enjoy in front of the TV on a cold evening. See why Lemongrass is being called one of the best new takeaways on the island at lemongrass88.com.
As we reflect on the year gone by, Harding Lewis would like to say how proud we are to support and advise local businesses. Being there for our clients to guide them through these challenging times has been rewarding and has strengthened our commitment to offer the highest level of service to the community. If you want to face the future with an experienced firm of chartered accountants as your business partner, visit hardinglewis.com or check out our Facebook page. See more, do more, together.
The Q Plus trade counter is now open weekdays for list and collect orders. Place yours on 673 131 or email sales@qplus.co.in. Need an update on your Q Plus order? Call our friendly team today on 673 131 and be sure to like us on Facebook to keep up to date.
qplus.co.in. Good foster carers come in all shapes and sizes and from all walks of life. It's who you are, not what you are, that makes the difference. You could be the one to help a child or young person become part of your family. Show them understanding and help them overcome their experiences. The Mockingbird Programme is a model of care that strives to recreate normal family life for children and young people in foster care. To find out more, including how we support and reward you, email familyplacementservice@gov.im.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And it's Julie next on The Man in Line. Hello, Julie.
Oh, hi. Just a couple of things. First of all, you know, that poor lady who was just on there before about the yellow card.
Yes.
If she just goes on to Google and puts in yellow card, it will bring up a direct link. It's actually the English government that are collecting the data on it.
And what does the yellow card do?
The yellow card, when it comes up, it asks you for your name, your location, your date of birth, and various other medical questions. Then it asks you to describe the symptoms that you have experienced so that they can collect data, you know, and obviously which jab it was that you actually had. But it's the English government that are collecting it, and we're part of their data collection rather than being independent, which is why the GPs and 111 would not be able to really assist, you know, on doing that. But like I say, if you just put it in Google, yellow card,
right,
it will come up, you know, as the first search. The other way of doing it is to go to gov.uk/yellow card, you know, but that's a long-winded way around if you're not good at using.
So what are they going to do with the data? What are they doing with the information, Julie?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine. I think the problem that we've got is that we're so early on, you know, to any of these. I mean, I personally know somebody who has had both her vaccines and shared a house with somebody who tested positive during this last lockdown. She ended up in isolation for 33 days because she didn't catch COVID, but the rest of the household did. And but do they know? We haven't had enough of the vaccines to say that it doesn't prevent you catching it. Until we start getting some of that data, how long that's going to be, 6 months, a year? Who knows how long you have to run a cycle before you can, you know, definitely say that something does or does not work. I do know a lot of people who've had the AstraZeneca vaccine and have had a bit of a rough ride, you know, sort of on the first one. However, you know, I would say to them, it's better than the alternative. You know, if you've seen somebody, you know, intubated and on a life support machine, it's far better to have a day of having flu. The recommendation that I would give to them is build up your immune system before you go to have it. Don't have any alcohol for at least 4 days beforehand. Give yourself a dose of vitamin D, and if you can bear it, have a cold shower for a week for 10 seconds every morning before you go in and have it. And then you shouldn't have any symptoms.
All right. Julie, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah. The other one, if I can quickly just pick up on, was the intra, whatever it's called. I've lost the name of it now. I've just Googled the ivermectin.
Yes.
It's for dogs. It's for animals.
It's an antiparasitic. Yeah. I mean, the vets use it all the time. It's an antiparasitic drug.
It is. Yeah. And that's why it's not licensed to be used for humans. So in countries, you know, where they are, you know, using it in, you know, for the treatment of COVID-19, they're using guinea pigs, basically.
Well, it is. I think it has been used to treat Lyme's disease in the past.
Yeah, there is another one that under specific regulations, it's like, you know, all of the vaccine that we've got now, we cannot use for people under the age of 16 because it's not licensed to do it. And it's the same with this ivermectin, although if you go on Amazon, you can actually buy it, you know, that it is not licensed to use except for in specific diseases. And COVID-19 is not one of them.
All right. Thanks, Julie.
OK, bye-bye.
Good to hear from you today. Is Ian on the man in line? Hello, Ian.
Hi there, Randy. Just a quick bit of results of research I came across. The Spanish government last week published the figures for cases of what they call severe reaction to the current vaccines. And in Spain, they've been using AstraZeneca, Moderna, and the Pfizer in significant numbers of all three. And coincidentally, all three vaccines under the yellow card system, which effectively one of the criteria was if your post-vaccine symptoms go into a third day, which would include the lady who rang up before, the result was the same. The number of notifications was 0.18% to two decimal figures. That equates to 18 people in 10,000 jabs.
Wow.
So that isn't a very, as a significance, that's not very great. I was interested because I myself had the AstraZeneca vaccine and I was quite fluey for the evening of the day I'd had the jab and again later in the next day. And after that, I've been absolutely fine. But I didn't find that particularly unusual, first of all, because you were advised that might happen. And secondly, because I've had far worse reactions to other vaccines in the past.
OK. All right, Ian, thanks for that information today. Good to hear from you.
Cheers now.
It's 4 minutes to one on Manx Radio. We've got a note in. It just says, ivermectin is approved for certain human conditions. One of them is excuse me if you're eating, scabies. To the lady wondering if the vaccines prevent the spread of COVID or catching it, the latest large American study run by the CDC, Center for Disease Control, proves they do. The vaccines are the answer to all this. It's proven, apparently, says Mark. Well, that's Mark's view anyway. I prefer to be on holiday with somebody with a negative test than somebody who's had a vaccination who could be positive with no symptoms, says that correspondent. Regarding the lady who says she just wants to know who's died after having the vaccine, well, here's one first doser who doesn't want to know. Ignorance is bliss, says Ali. Thank you for that, Ali. This is where tagging the passengers coming off will come into its own. No guessing, says Des. We should tag them. Easily done. And these are strange times. They certainly are strange times as well. A message just says, too quick again, says Patricia. Get the kids back to school for a week and then see what happens. It's only 5 working days better than another 6 weeks. And the UK's open more. And the sea cat's going to be busy. Oh, wow. Thank you, Patricia. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. I'm Andy Wint. Back same time tomorrow. Have a good day.